Did you all hear a question? Why does he say again? Why does he say again?
Is he already about once? Coming back a second time?
No. No. This one is the first time on the cross. Why does he say again? Great question. When was Jesus crucified? Before he was slain from the foundation of the world in God's heart, in God's mind, before there was a world. So he already was slain, killed because he knew by foreknowledge that we would sin. So he was already slain, ready then to come and die on the cross for us and shed his blood so that we may eat his body and drink his blood. Do y'all understand that? Because he was already slain. You were slain before there was a world. When Jesus was slain, you were slain at that moment. But you didn't know it. That we were ignorant. So we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because we thought we could know good and evil. God is good, you're evil. So knowing that, how could he reconcile himself in the Son? God was in Christ reconciling the world, sinful world, unto himself. So great, great, great question. So slain is the word used. That's when God slew him. He laid him down before there was a need for salvation. Before there was a need. That's forethought on the Father's part. He knew that you and I would sin. Now, the sixth chapter. You say we read this before. Yes, we did. What? Oh, I don't care. Yeah. However. Could we lock the door before we... I don't want any of the pagans to hear this. No. Yeah, I'm kidding. There's noise outside. All right. So. Oh, that's okay. It will be muffled. All right. So the sixth chapter of John, I want to begin at verse 44. Verse 44. And then we'll read to the end of the chapter. So, I'm going to read. If I could explain this to you, it would take me hours. So, I'm not. I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm going to read it. How many know faith comes by hearing, not by thinking? It comes by hearing, not by thinking, not by wanting, not by feeling. So, all the things you're equipped with cannot understand this word. So say it. I don't understand the word. You'll never understand it until you say these words. Holy Spirit, you wrote this Bible. Please explain it to me. Holy Spirit, you wrote this Bible. Please explain it to me. Because it's not talking about the things it's talking about. It's talking heavenly language, not earthly language. Using earthly words, but it's talking about heaven. And so if you eat the Son of Man and drink his blood, well, that sounds like cannibalism. It's not. It's the Holy Communion. So it has nothing to do with eating, some bread and drinking some wine. You know, it has nothing to do with that. This has to do with a heavenly body. Because Jesus is the bread of heaven. He is the manna. Not the manna that Moses gave you. That one you died. That bread would not keep you alive forever. Drinking that cup would not keep you forever. We're drinking of eternal consequence on earth. So what President Trump is doing in both in making America great and also rearranging the world. It's part of God's program. But this is where the gospel is preached. This trumps Trump. I'm telling you the truth. And if you wouldn't think I was exaggerating, I am immaculate in my understanding of the gospel. In other words, I think about it every single day and spend hours and hours and hours going over the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so my value is to just say what the Bible says, not say what I think it says. My value to you is to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that you'll be free. Now, I'm going to have a quiz afterward, and I'm going to call one or two or three of you to come up and explain these three chairs, because this is the perfect man. Right here is the perfect man. So did you do it or God? So since God did it, you don't get any merit for it, because you didn't do four, you didn't do five, you didn't do six, you didn't do three. You did one and two, but we're not going to count that today. Take you all the way to six, seven, and eight, but I'm not going to explain that because you already know it. So you can explain it later after I get ready. So I'm going to read it to you. Just read the naked word, the bare word, without a rhema, without any bells going off or signs and wonders and miracles. You don't need it. Just read it. It comes by hearing. It does not come by thinking and figuring it out. You will never figure it out. My words are not your words. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. What you need, you don't even know you need this. What you need is God to reveal himself. What you need is for God to reveal himself as a loving Father, a gracious God, the only one that's good, the only one that is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So what you need is not what you think you need. What you want is to know Jesus. You want to eat his bread. You want to drink his blood. All right. So, listen carefully. 44. No one is able to come to me. No one is able to come to me. Can you come to Jesus? No. We have songs like that, but they're wrong. You can't climb Jacob's ladder and get into heaven. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. You can't. Jesus came down. You did not go up and pull him down or carry him down. And you can't go down and pull him up. You can't do anything. You're not an actor. Now, what I'm saying to you is not taught by others. I know it's not because I read. I know it's not. But listen to me, because I'm telling you the word of God. When God came, he was sent into the world by the Father for one reason and one reason only. Does anyone remember I taught this some while back? The whole book of John is all about this. It only has one purpose, not Alex, because I know Alex knows. Someone else knows? Dan, not Dan. Because I know Dan, so Dan blurted it out before I could. Yeah, right. So he cheated because he remembered, and Alex remembered what I said. He only came to give you eternal life. Ionial. That kind of Zoe life, eternal Ionia. That is what God came to give you. So Ionion and so on has different forms that the word, but it means everlasting life. And if you don't have that, you can't, and that's four, by the way. That's four, eternal life, but so is five, but so is six. So eternal life or salvation is all three. You're not going to go beyond this. even though there are things beyond this, you're not going to go beyond this. If you don't have this, you can't go anywhere. This is all you need, is Jesus died for you, Jesus rose for you, and after having killed you in 5, then he rose for you, and now you have live by everlasting life, because Jesus is in you. He is in heaven, but since he's a spirit, he's also in you. So, without explaining what I'm saying, I'm just reading it to you, so that don't think, just hear what God has to say to the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. 44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Father who sent me draws him. So how can you come to Jesus? It just says right here. Only the Father. Not even the Spirit. Only the Father can draw you. So the Father would have to believe that you were potentially the recipient of the promise. You were potentially the one to whom Jesus came to speak to. So he's now speaking to you, but the Father drew you. Otherwise, you can hear the words and they don't have any meaning. You can hear the words and they have no meaning at all. They're totally irrelevant to your life. Until the Father draws you and said, this is one I'm giving to you. Oh, this is another one. Here. This one is such a mess. You need to help this one. This one, oh my gosh, sinful, wicked. That I'm giving. And so he can find as many sinners as he can. Well, that's easy. He can be blindfolded and bring you anybody, because everybody should come to Jesus. They do not. Why? Why don't they come to us? Because here we are, church. Why isn't the whole place, the whole hotel, down here, listening to this?
Pride. Pride.
Why? Pride? No.
Pride meaning it. I don't need it.
Yeah, but that's not why. No, that's very good. And that's their response. But what is the reason they don't come down here and hear it?
Because God hasn't drawn them.
Yeah, because God hasn't drawn them. Because the church is not hot. But the minute you have the words of God, and I know I do, the minute you have the words of God, people will come. But I'm not the church. I'm just a pastor. So, pastors is not a church. A pastor doesn't make a church. A church, you know, has a pastor, but only if it's big enough. Because if it's small enough, two or three. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't need a pastor. You do not need a pastor. You don't need a pastor. Are you clear on that? So pastors don't make churches. But a church, then when it gets big enough, not two or three are gathered, not two at work or two in the parking lot, not your neighbor and you. But it has to be two or three are gathered. That's how it starts. That's the foundation. And anybody can preach the gospel to anybody. You don't need a pastor. Two in jail. They have a church right there. I don't think they can baptize one another, probably. But they probably could sprinkle you through the little faucet there. But anyway, God will supply. Anyway, they have showers and so on. So, no matter what, they don't have swimming pools, but they have showers. But if the Democrats are elected, we'll have swimming pools. I'm just joking. So the church is not hot, so there's no point in joining a church unless a church is hot. I wish you were cold. I wish you were against me. I wish you were an atheist, a thief, a liar. I could deal with you easily. But it's the lukewarm that goof everybody up. The lukewarm church is easy to define. You make provision for sin.
Perfect.
So the lukewarm church today makes provision for homosexuality. And the Methodists would be homosexual preaching, and they are in America, but for the Africans. They're the only ones not in the Bible, we don't believe in it. And so if it's not in the Bible, the third world, which is so stupid that they have to read the Bible and think it's literal. They think it actually contains life. And so, not in the Bible. We're not going to do it. And it's the same in the Episcopalian church. They don't believe it if it's not in the Bible.
In Africa.
So, in Africa. And so, because of that, the whole church is ruined because of those Africans. So, are they a blessing or a curse?
Blessing.
They're a blessing. And they haven't had a turn at being the head of a church or being the head of a state. But in Africa, their churches are packed out. You can't go to Africa and not have 500, 800, 2,000, 5,000, 15,000, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000, 250,000. You can go anywhere in the third world and their churches are packed. You can go into Russia. You can go to Saudi Arabia. I don't care where you go. God has evidence of a church flourishing, but it's not from white man. It's not from Jewish man. So what the Jews began and the Christians should have completed, the white church, Gentiles, we didn't. They didn't. We didn't. So it's now time for the black man to finish what we started. So the best has been saved to the last. That's my message, because I know that he can't bless Shem, Ham, and Japheth and leave Shem and Ham without Japheth. He has to have all three. Whatever he's blessed, it can't be cursed. He can't change his mind because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Once he blesses you, he can never curse you. So all I want you to do today is get faith when I read. By reading just the bare word that I'm reading to you, it's enough to save you, and then enough to sanctify you, and then enough to glorify you. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I, Jesus says, will raise him up, means us, in the last day. And I will raise him up in the last day. So the last day is now upon us. It has been written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. So where do you think the world is heading? I'm not going to talk about the world. But where do you think the world is heading? It's heading for that, right there. Last day. We're in the last day. 7,000th year. It's the last. History will be over in a little while. It's a little, excuse me. It's a little while because it's going to last 1,000 years. You're already in it. You're already in it. But it's going to be early. And we're early. We just started it a few years ago. So 19 years ago, we started this new millennium. So you're already in the time frame. But it isn't time for him to rise from the dead as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's not going to come back right now. You at least have 1,000 years plus 1,260 days for Jacob's trouble, plus. But what he's doing today is more important than what he did originally to build a foundation, to build a building on it, so that then we could praise God with all our heart and soul and strength, because we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and we are the dwelling place of the living God. No one else is. No one else is. So because of that, this hotel should all be down here to listen to the truth, because only the truth will set you free. But I don't have to shout it. I don't even have to do anything. They don't even have to come. I'm just telling you, that's the way it's going to end up. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Regardless. So what God determines is determined forever and ever. Right? So listen to this. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and on the last day I will raise him up. That's going to happen. And it doesn't matter because he's already dispatched. He's already gotten rid of those that are going into the lake of fire. When he comes back, he won't marry you first. He'll get rid of all the enemy first. And then he'll deal with you. He'll deliver you after he deals with the enemy. And they'll either be in the holding tank like the devil. He'll be in the bottomless pit with all his angels. And the beast and the false prophet will... the Antichrist, false prophet, they'll be in the lake of fire. They don't even get to do anything. Just straight into the lake of fire. Because Jesus can judge anybody quickly because he knows the secrets of the heart. So he doesn't have to, you're not going to be judged by your works. You're going to be judged by Jesus' works on your behalf. I'm going to say it again. I want you to listen to this. You're not going to be judged by your works, whether they're good or bad, because you're wrong about anything. But you'll be judged by Jesus' works for you, in you, through you. For you, four. In you, five. Through you, six. So that men, when they see your good works, they will give glory to your Father, which art in heaven. So, all of this is powerful, and so I'm returning to the sixth chapter, even though I want to go to all the other chapters, but I'll have to wait till next year, because I don't want to let any of this book of John escape you. And so I'm taking my time, and I'm not in a hurry, because I only get to come here in Dallas twice a month, and I'm only in Fort Worth twice a month, but then the others are filling in. And that's great. I want them to do it. It's what God told me to do. So I'm doing it. So 45, it has been written in the prophets. It is written. That's how you defeat the devil. It is written. That's how you defeat the devil. It is written. So your marriage is intact because the devil has no power. But you must use the word of God. You must use the word God. So I love Peggy with all my heart, soul, and strength, because he's only judging my heart, not judging my behavior. In behavior, I couldn't make it. I'm not worried about my behavior because Jesus already died for that before the foundation of the world, when he was slain. So now he's going to rise again. Because he was slain, but then God sent him on a new mission to earth to show us the Father's love, goodness, grace, mercy, kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit. Those do not come from heaven, from earth, they come from heaven. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on and so forth. All of those are gifts from heaven, they are not part of the earth. So you'll not see any peace on earth until Jesus comes back. But we could have peace in the church, but we don't. We could have, but we don't. If we were hot, this hotel would all be here today.
That's right.
In fact, the whole of Dallas, we'd have the ballroom. We just keep opening it up. So I'm not worried about that because it's not the time, because I haven't even got righteousness and Raul and Judy. Well, Karen, you already have it, don't you? No. Is Dan misbehaving again? Because the woman gets the blessing and the man gets the burden. So, come on, Dan. Get it. All you got to do is hear. So we're happy with one another. We love one another, and there are no heresies among us. But you think there is, so there is. But stop thinking what you're thinking, because you don't think right. And if you think too much, you'll drink. Or be addicted to something. Because thinking doesn't get you to heaven. And emotions don't get you to heaven. And action won't get you to heaven. And wanting won't get you to heaven. It's not a will thing. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God promised and God promised. And it's a one-sided, unilateral promise. And you're the recipient, you're the promisee, you're the one that takes delivery on the offer that God has offered you after you sin, then just have faith in me. Chair 4. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. That could include husbands and wives and anybody that's around you. So God ain't through with us yet. And I know I was talking to Bill Noble the other day, and he was saying, God hath made me a gatekeeper in Dallas.
You or he?
Yeah, he said it.
He's a gatekeeper.
Yeah, he's the gatekeeper. And so and so that was exciting. And so he believes the rest of his life is to be the gatekeeper. So don't look at his life, look at his heart. Don't look at his life, look at his heart. So he only chooses sinners, former sinners, who repent and say, I don't have a right to judge anybody. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. So don't be judging anybody. Be blind. When you see your neighbor sinning, ignore it. Don't even look at it. Because it's the heart. It's not, it has nothing to do with behavior. It's Jesus' behavior to keep God's promise for you. And he'll keep you. Whatever he creates, he can keep it. You can't keep it. You're not able to be 4 or 5 or 6, but he can keep it until you arrive in heaven. So you can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you, and on the last day, he'll raise us all up. On the last day, you're in the last day, chronologically, but spiritually you're not, because Jesus hasn't come back, because the Jews haven't been slaughtered yet in Jacob's trouble. So 1260 days. And that will happen. It's the last time it will ever happen. 7 times I could name it, but there are 7 times. This 6 have happened, and this will be the 7th. And the last one, because that's how you refine gold. That's how you refine silver. And so those refining fires are going to last on us until only the priests are left out of Israel. You can read Malachi 3 if you want to. All the priests will be spared. And so the priests, not all, literally all, but spiritually all, those that are righteous, because after you break God's law, then you go to God, to the priest that God has assigned, and particularly the high priest, which is Jesus, by the way. The high priest is not the priests in Israel. The high priest is Jesus. He is the high priest. And the first time he came, behold, John said, that son, that one coming down the hill, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Wow. So he is the one that will justify you, sanctify you, glorify you. He's the only one. But because you changed the priest, you changed the law. Now the law is on your side, and we're wrestling over it in America right now. So forget, you know, all the stuff that's in the papers and all about China and India and all these nations and so on. They're in uproar because they can't figure out, because America has not figured that out. Are you going to follow the Constitution, Bill of Rights? You're going to follow what the founders gave us, or move on? Well, the scriptures wrote those constitutions and wrote those Bill of Rights. They're not from enlightenment. They have nothing to do with man's wisdom. This is something, and no other nation has ever been free. We're the only ones that are free, but now we're slaves. And so the Democrats want to keep you enslaved, and I'm not interested in the Democrats. I'm just simply saying they're fighting for progressive, because they want to be free from the Constitution, free from the law of God. They want to be free. Ah, You can't be free unless God makes you free. So since he gave you the old heart, now that old heart is no good. It'll perish. Now he gives you another heart. Now you're in chair four. If you have another heart, you're regenerated. You have a new heart. Now you're a spirit man. And you're now a spiritual house. You're a spiritual offering. All that goes to God. And you didn't do it. God did that. God did all. You'll never have any time to do good works in this world. You'll never have any time in the world to come to do good works. Because it's a relationship with the living God. You have to know this Jesus. You have to be in relationship to Jesus, not religion. Religion won't take you to heaven. Religion is evil, wicked, nasty. Did you understand what I just said? It's just idolatry. An idol is nothing. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Nothing, nothing. Now, listen to this. 45, it has been written, and it's not going to change. Whatever God wrote is going to stay that way. It has been written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. So how are you taught now? By God. God. It's the Godhead. Theototes. Say it. That's Greek. Theo, that's God. Totes, that's the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Trinity. I don't care if people argue silly things. It's Trinity. It's always three. There's our three things right there. Jesus is Savior. He is Lord. He's Bridegroom. Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. Says the whole of history. The whole of history is aiming exactly where I say the Bible says it's going. And pretty soon there will only be the righteous, and you are the righteous ones. Dikaiosune. The sune on the end is a suffix to the word. Dikaios. Dikaios is from dike, or like Nike, you know, overcomer. But this is dike, which is the law, and the law could mean two things. It means you are made just personally before God, individual. 4, 5, 6. So which chair are you sitting in now? And then it also means justice in the world. Two gifts from God. And God will not let either of those go until every king bows, until every prince says, Jesus Christ is Lord. We're all under him. That hasn't happened yet. It's not about to happen today, tomorrow, and the next day. But it will happen in due season. And God can shorten the time because he knows the days are evil and you'd be tempted to by the devil. Even his righteous ones can't keep yourselves. God has to keep you. So he'll shorten the days. So it'll come quick. And when it comes, you'll be in a brand new world like you've never seen before. All the wicked will be gone and only the righteous, dikaiosune, which is imputed righteousness. It's different than other kinds. All right, number 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father. Not that anyone has seen the Father. So everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one, Jesus, being from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, 47, truly, truly, in other words, truly of the truth. In other words, this comes from heaven. Truly, truly, when it doubles like that, that means it can't be changed. Truly of a truth, I say to you, the one believing into me has everlasting life. How many here are believers in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the same. If you love Jesus, you love the Father. If you love the Father, you love Jesus. It's impossible to divide the two. And the Holy Spirit also. So they all have life in themselves. And if you're related to them, you have their life. If you drink my blood and eat my bread, then you have eternal life. Ha! So that's how you get life in yourself. Relationship, not religion. Did you hear what I just said? So all religion is idolatry. But relationship with Jesus Christ by eating his bread and drinking his blood. Ah, isn't that simple? That is so offensive to the reasonable people. I mean, that's offensive. And you know, they drink blood? Well, I don't want to drink any blood. Well, it isn't blood you're drinking, it's wine. Oh, well, he God mixed up his metaphors. How many know God doesn't mix up anything? He knows exactly what he's saying, and you don't need to have sermons on it. I mean, I want to do it, but we don't have enough time. I could do it for years and years and years, go through one or two verses. Why? Because it's all in here. And that's why I read it night and day. Of course, it's my job, but it's not my job. Actually, he called me to do it years ago. Said, you're no longer you. You don't now belong to me, and I want you to die, and I want you to be a servant of everybody. And don't worry about money, and don't worry about the things of this world. Just pay attention to me, and I'll take care of you. Wow. So since I believe it, I'm ruined. I'll never be able to have my own life. Isn't that a mess? No, that's actually what God wants. For you to be nothing and him to be everything. He likes that. Are you a nothing that you don't have a will of your own, a mind of your own, emotions of your own? You don't have anything of your own. You just belong to God because you were created ex nihilo, out of nothing. So you're still nothing, and you'll always be nothing, but you have a relationship with the living God, so you have his life. And whomever God treats, you have everything he has. Because he isn't giving you stuff, he's giving you himself. He's not giving you stuff, he's giving you himself. And with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things that the Gentiles seek. Whatever the Gentiles want, you'll get all of that and much more. Everything in this world belongs to us. I don't know if you know that. But you don't want what's in this world. That's the left hand. You want what's in this world. That is the world to come. Then you not only get everything in heaven, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, because even the earth will be transformed because you've been transformed. And you are now righteous. So you are now living a just life corporately and a righteous life personally. So you are a Christian. You are a Christian just by faith. We can drown those things out.
You can.
Hallelujah! Yeah! We don't need to do that, but we could. So they got quiet all of a sudden. All right, now.
The door must have closed.
49, it starts with, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So Jesus is from heaven. He sent me from heaven to earth to tell you that eternal life can't be given by anything in this world. But I came to give you eternal life. So now you get it by faith, because you have faith in him, keeping his promise, not in yourself, keeping your promise. Don't keep your promises. You can't. Only Jesus can keep a promise. He can keep you alive. He's the only one that can do anything. So why worry about you being accountable to other people? I know a lot of churches do that. The biggest church in Dallas does that. And it's okay. I'm not their judge. I don't care what they do. But I know it's a lie. You can't be accountable to people. You're accountable to God and God alone. And so men just fill in the blanks. It's okay. I'm not mad at that. All I want to do is be well done, good and faithful servant. That's the only good thing I ever did was nothing. Because nothing can do nothing. Because they are nothing and have nothing. So everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. That's a grant. That was a gift. That was something you just take delivery on and it's yours. You take delivery on it, then it belongs to you. So God wants you to possess everything in the kingdom of God forever and ever. Start today. Start today. If you're right here, that's enough. That brings forth your worship. Thank you. Praise you. Adore you. Now you have worship. Then you have to die so you can love your neighbor. So then faith is active in love. That is, faith in Jesus Christ is active in love. Because only Jesus is a lover. So now you're a lover because he first loved us. Now you're a lover. So now the fact that you're a lover, you love everybody in this room. You don't even need to know who they are. In fact, you love everybody in the world. And you don't even need to hold, you don't have to know anything. You just have to know, well, Jesus loved everybody, I love everybody.
Amen.
You don't care about their skin color and their cultures and what bad things they did and what good things. Ignore all that. God ignores it all because he already had Jesus die for it. So now he's about to inhabit his people. He's about to inhabit his people, and are you ready? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Don't answer. Answer from your heart, not from your head. You're thinking about your behavior. Don't think about your behavior. So, no, you're disqualified under the law, but you're qualified because the gospel has conquered the law. The gospel has conquered the law. Why? Because it's free. That's the truth that'll set you free. So the gospel is, after you sin, I forgive you. The gospel is, after you sin, I forgive you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
So, 49. This is the bread. No, 48. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread coming out of heaven that anyone may eat of it and not die. Say, not die. You're not going to die. You can't die. Anyone, he said, anyone. You may eat of it. What's going on?
You're falling apart.
I'm falling apart. Yahoo! So, since God wants you to eat of him and drink of him, that's eternal life. You already have it. You already have it. You're in chair four. Everybody here is in chair four. If you come to a little church like this, you're definitely in chair four. if a reasonable person would not come here. I'm not surprised that Dallas is going to the bigger churches. Oh, that's great. Yeah, go to the bigger churches. But I don't care. I like Dan, just the way he is. You don't have to improve, Dan. God will improve you. He has an improvement kit just for you. And Alex, praise God. How many are excited about Alex? I'm excited about him because he has a job and he's sticking with it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And now God is multiplying and probably soon he'll be supporting the whole church. Why? Because he's making too much money. Now, God is doing that because he fiddled around, does something, then he wants to make a movie, then he wants to chop down trees, and you know, he wants to do all kinds of things. But just stick with anything. Just pick one and do it. Now he owns his own truck, and you know, very few debts are left. You know, maybe the IRS, so you pay them off, and pretty soon, maybe you've already paid them off, for all I know.
So I got it all saved up.
Yeah, praise God. So that's powerful because that's not him doing that. That was God doing that. So what God does, he remembers. I did that. And so because he worships God and prays for Highland Park and whoever else, he wants to see Dallas have a destiny. And a lot of people believe that Dallas is the place that the revival, whatever you want to call it, might start. Because there are people here in this church that believe that everything that starts. I went to the movie the other night in Highland Park, and they had this video thing, movie thing, and then I met a woman that I knew way back at the Biblical Arts Center.
Wow!
And she's married, and you know all this kind of stuff, and so on. I didn't recognize her, but she recognized me. Are you Jim Morchard? You know, it's like, whoa, how do you remember me? I didn't remember her. And so, yeah, and she's flourishing. And so she told me, you got to meet my boss because he's right where you are and you are right where he is. So I'm excited about that. I have a card and I'm going to meet him because he believes that this city has a special destiny because there's so much sin in this city. There's so much sin in this city. It's not like Fort Worth. We're the same. Same wealth, same everything. You really don't know what's happening, but this whole Metroplex area is chosen by God, and it's a place you want to be because something could happen. Highland Park has more Christians in it, just Highland Park, because it's the old wealth, and it's still there, and they're Christians. How mature are they? Doesn't matter. As long as their heart is right with God. And so they don't deny Jesus. And then, so you don't know really what God is doing, but he's working secretly in the hearts of men. Amen? So don't worry about anything else that's going on in the world. Russia is broke. Russia is busted. So that's why Trump does all that silly stuff with Russia. Let Zelensky and all those people overthrow, you know, Poroshenko and all that kind of, Chenko or whatever. Because they know that Russia is rich in military but poor in cash flow. They don't have any cash flow. We used to support them. Now we're supporting China, and now we're going to stop. Why? Because they have their own agenda. They want to be the supplier of monies here and there. So don't worry about that. It's none of your business. Let the president do it. That's his job. The Democrats think that's not his job as bureaucrats. Bureaucrats are nothing. There's no bureaucrat in the Constitution. Those are just slaves. They're just slaves. So they don't know what they're doing. So don't get involved in politics except vote. Don't do other things because it's not worth it. You can't fix up the world. Leave the world as it is. The problem is the church. Let judgment begin in the household of God. We need to be hotter than we are. We need to be more passionate than we are. We need to recognize that God is now rearranging the world for his coming back. He's rearranging it so that when he comes back, that the black man will be equal to the white man, will be equal to Israel, and we'll all be saved together. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Now, the next verse is, this is how you get right with Jesus. This is personal. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I will give is my flesh. He's really making this difficult to swallow. Which I will give for the life of the world. Then Jesus argued with one another, saying, how can this one give us his flesh to eat? Is he a cannibal? Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, of a truth, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is truly blood, and my blood is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood abides in me. You ever want to abide in God? Here's how it's done. You don't. You don't even do it. God does it. God is the only one that can keep you abiding. I'm trying to abide. You can't try to abide. He's the only one that acts. He's the only one that does anything. So don't waste your time. Don't worry about, I'm going to abide. I'm going to try to abide. I don't think I abided today. I probably sinned. You know, that all silly stuff. Because he says, abide in me, right? But he's talking about himself. The law was given for Jesus to fulfill for you. The law was given for Jesus to fulfill on your behalf. The law was given for Jesus to do as you. He represents you to God and God to you. But it all started with Jesus. Everything starts with God. You begin with man, you end with man. You begin with God, you end with God. That's it. Whatever God wants to do, it's perfect. Whatever you want to do, it's imperfect. So you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm going to say nothing.
Nothing.
You can't do anything. So why are you doing anything? Unless you eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, and have faith in him that began to do this in 4, do this in 5, and do this in 6. You're born to die, to resurrect. You're born to die, to resurrect. You see that? So you don't have resurrection life until that happens at the second coming. But you already have it now because you're a new creation. So you don't even apply to anything that applies to this world. You're a new creation, so you're no longer Jew or Gentile. So there's 3 groups, and you're the only one that has an everlasting life, forever and ever. Not just forever. Forever means as long as this government exists. But forever and ever means and the world to come too. So you get it all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his kind of righteousness, which is something he does for you. You don't do it for yourself. You just do it by having faith. So simple. And eat the bread, drink the wine. This is the bread. This is the bread. Even as the living Father, verse 37, sent me, and I live through the Father, also the one partaking of me, even that one, will live through me. That's why he's living for you, in you, and through you. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. This is Moses in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven. That's just on the left side, left hand. But it's not on the right side, right hand. We're from the right side. The one partaking of this bread will live in this age. So if you eat of that bread, then later you'll die. But you're going to die sooner or later. But he said these things, teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Almost done. Then hearing, many of his disciples said, this word, it's kind of hard. I mean, it's hard. Who is able to hear it? But knowing within himself that his disciples were murmuring about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? That's a funny question. Does this offend you? Don't you like my hard sayings? Don't you like the fact that I don't write to your brain and to your emotions and to your feelings and to your volition and to everything? Don't you like the fact that I just speak words that you can't understand until the Holy Spirit dwells within you, until the Holy Spirit is now leading you? You're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you're led of the Spirit, you're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you're led of the Spirit. And only those that are led of the Spirit are sons of God. They're the only ones. It says so in the Bible. So that's loving your neighbor as yourself, but you have to die before that happens, so you have to be born again with a new heart to get that, because this is the foundation, this is the building, and this is what you do in the building. So everything is rigged for you to become a Christian. He's rigged it all, and Jesus does it all, so you don't have to do a thing, just be a nothing. Jesus was a nothing. As Son of Man, he's not Son of God, though he is Son of God and Son of Man at the same time, so he could die. So that he could die for you, so you don't have to die. That's spiritual death, not just physical death. It's also physical death, but it's also spiritual death, because he wants everything to work just the way he intended in the first place. He wanted everyone to be his slave on earth, so he'll kill off all the unrighteous and only keep the righteous. So that's why you have to be righteous. Say, I have to be righteous. But I can't do it. But Jesus has done it for me. Now he's doing it in me. And then he'll do it through me. And when men see my good works, they won't give any glory to me. They'll give all my glory, not to me, but to my Father in heaven, because I'm his son, I'm his daughter. So everything is so smooth. It's so totally regular. These words are not interesting words. They're just regular words. But he uses them in a way that actually gives you salvation. Because he's the Savior. And he's the Lord. And he's the Bridegroom. And he's my all in all. Everything I've ever wanted is in Jesus. You will never be happy until you only have Jesus. You can't have two gods. You can't have two lords, two masters. You can only have one. So who is your master? That's from your heart. Who is your master? That's from your heart. Who is your master? Yeah, that's from your heart. And so on. So our hearts is all he looks at. But he gave you a new heart. So of course, it's yes, 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 yes. All his promises are yea and amen. So just say yes. Don't even think. Don't even feel. Don't even want. Don't even wish. Just relax. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you gift, 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 gift. Grant, 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 grant. It's now yours. Take delivery on it. Eternal life. That's why he came. That you might have eternal life. How do you get it? You don't. You don't get it. You get him. You don't get it. You get him. Well, I want that eternal life stuff. Yeah, well, you can't get it. There's no it. It's only a him. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things. He gives you everything. I like everything being a gift. That's a good father and a good son. A good daughter. Let God the Father supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. No one else. Government can't do it. No one can do it. So don't pay any attention to the government, the economy. Don't pay any attention to this world, society. Don't pay any attention to it. It's all going to perish and fall away unless you pray for them. So you can always pray for the world. You can always pray for all mankind. You can pray for individuals. You can pray for anybody you want. You can pray in tongues and not even know what you're saying. That's not the same way here on earth. So when you pray in tongues, nobody knows what you're talking about. So if nobody else interprets, you'll have to be the one that interprets. God, you gave me that tongue. What does it mean? And you just open your mouth and it'll come out. God wants you to live not your life. He wants you to live his life. In other words, when you live, you're actually exposing God, manifesting God to the whole world. So the world is in our hands. Do you realize that? The whole world. He has the whole world in his hands, and you're part of what he has. Now, he won't let you go, but you can always jump out. He won't let you go, but you can always jump out. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
He will never, no one can ever get you out of his hand. His hand will keep you. Unless you want to go, then he has no, if you will that, he can't stop you from willing that. So he's preached this word. It's so good news you wouldn't want to let go. Because you found out that God is pretty good in this life. And boy, in the next life you get everything. This is just donum partum. But next time it'll be donum totum when Jesus comes back. So almost done here. The hearing, 60. Then hearing many of his disciples, he said, this word is hard. Who's able to hear it? But knowing within himself that the disciples were murmuring about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Say, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't offend me at all. Whatever God says, I'm going to live by every word that comes out of his mouth. Every word that proceeds from his mouth is life-giving. Never is it for my detriment. Right. So, Judy, everything in your life, working out for your benefit. Do you see it? Oh, no, don't see it. Just believe it. He doesn't want you to see it. That's later.
Amen.
You have to believe the promise right now. You have this Bible. It's just a promissory note. The Bible is not God. The Bible is not God. But you can't know God without the Bible. So the Bible references, it's referring to, it's signifying something else outside of it. The true and living Word, Jesus. So the Word turns out to be a person, Jesus. The truth is a person, Jesus. Everything is Jesus. You get Jesus, you get everything. Woo! I like that. Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man going up where he first was? He came down, now he's going up. It is the Spirit that makes alive. It is the Spirit that makes alive. You have that. That your heart says, yeah. Yeah, I have that. The flesh does not profit. Nothing. The flesh does not profit nothing. The words which I speak to you are spirit and are eternal life. Wow. But there are some of you who are not believing. For Jesus, oh my gosh, some of you, but I want to be like Jesus. But you knew me from the beginning. And the ones not believing were. And who was the one betraying him? Did you know who betrayed Jesus? Which one betrayed Jesus? Was it Peter or Judas or who? Which one betrayed him? Well, they all didn't believe, actually, when they went to the tomb and saw and all this stuff. They didn't believe. They just saw he wasn't there. Because they're going by sight. Everything in Christianity is the Bible. It's not what you see, it's what you don't see. The Bible is not seeing. The Bible is not seeing. We're the only religion like that. All the other religions are going by law. Because you can control a law. You can figure out a way around the law. Everybody does it all the time. Huh. But you can't do that with the gospel because it's a one-way covenant and Jesus made it to you, for you, and now you're free. You're free. This truth will set you free ever, ever, ever. So, almost done here. And he said, for this reason I have told you that no one is able to come to me except it is given to him from my Father. From this time on, many of his disciples went away. Isn't that funny? We've experienced that at least, you know, 7 or 8 times. Just lose whole congregations. Isn't that exciting? But now we have the best. Anyone that's stuck this far probably is not going to go anywhere. But even if they do, good riddance. You know, go somewhere else. Go to the big church. Go to wherever you want to. I've never worried about anything. Once you meet Jesus, you don't worry.
Amen.
If you worry, you don't worship. I never worry. I don't worry about marriage. I don't worry about friends. I don't worry about anything. I don't worry. How many know that he said, be ye not anxious? Don't be stressed out. Don't be worried. Because then you can't worship. But if everything's going your way, then you can worship all the time. You can see rotten things and just ignore them. Turn your back on your problem. Hallelujah, Jesus! I hope they heard that over there.
Hallelujah.
So that group over here needs to hear the gospel. All right. Now, almost done. From that time, many of his disciples went away into the things behind. In other words, they went backwards. And no longer walked with him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, do you also wish to go? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of everlasting life. So he got it. Peter got it. That's powerful. He got it. Because that's all this book was written for, to give you everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. It's one-sided. It's unilateral. It's not bilateral. If you do this, then I'll do that. That's the way the law is. If you speed, then you get the ticket. You know, whatever. It's not like that. This one is one-sided. I will do everything. I will, 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 I will. 7 I wills. That is the thing. I will show you the land. I'll make your name great. I'll make your nation. Blah, 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 blah. I'll curse those who curse you. Bless those who bless you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So isn't that exciting? So he can do the impossible. Nobody can make the black man free except Jesus. Today they gripe and grumble in America. So what? Let them gripe and grumble. Because next year, it'll change. Next year, it'll change. So you'll see the black man coming into his strength, both in the church and in the state, because they have something that you don't have. It's something you can't do. That is, forgive your enemies. But they're not like that. Because they've suffered so much, they know exactly what justice is, because they didn't have any. And so they know, hey, I'm going to forgive everybody and just follow Jesus. just like it's happening in Uganda, just like it's happening in Korea. I don't care where you go, this gospel will never fail. Every time God intends something, it always happens. And it's all written down in the book. Everything that's written in this book will happen. You have to be blessed just like everybody else, equal. And we have believed and have known that you are the Christ, Peter said, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Isn't that funny? Do you know who it is? Who's the devil?
Judas.
Okay. He's even called. He's even called by that, you know. He'll perish. Why? He's the perishable one. Because he turned him in. Because he wanted Jesus to do something. Well, Jesus already did it. Jesus already did it. So you can't make God hurry up. You have no control over God. How many know you don't control God? And you don't want to because he's free. You don't want to control God because he's the only one that can bless you every day. And can't he look into a dark situation and bring light? Can't he look into a hopeless situation and give hope? Can't he give you faith, hope, and love? Where someone, they need your love. And it would have to kill you, though. So that's why he had to die in 5, so you can do it in 6. Then you become the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. No blemish, no stain, no iniquity, nothing. God did that. And Jesus, when he judges you, easy, because he remembers all the things he did. Alex, I did that for you such and such a date. And I've then fixed it on such and such a date. And he knows everything he did, so he's just judging himself. Because everything he did was what he did. And he's only judging himself. So Jesus can't fail, because he's keeping the promise of God. So he has to bless everybody, just like he said. And he already knows who they are. We don't, but he does. Foreknowledge is not the same thing as predestination. Predestination means he gave you a destiny, but you failed. You have a destiny to serve God, but you fail. To worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, nobody ever did it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what? Because it doesn't matter, because Jesus will still keep his promise because he knows your heart. And everyone that listens to Jesus has everything he says. Just go for him, don't work for it. Just go for him, and then everything is settled. Last verse, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil, but he spoke of Judas Iscariot. Right there is the answer. He spoke of Judas Iscariot. Why? Because Judas heard all the words, and he didn't even believe them. Okay, but Jesus chose him when he knew that he was going to steal out of the purse. He knew that. But then he offered forgiveness, and the guy never took what was in his right hand. He always wanted what's in his left hand. Just like want to have the bread when you're hungry. Yeah, the left hand is more important to me than the right hand. No, get the right hand and you get the left hand for free. That's the problem with South Sudan. They've been a nation free and independent for 8 years and done nothing. So I rebuked them. First day I read what the Bill of Rights is in Texas. That's okay. But then they said, well, I guess that's okay. But the next day, they were murmuring. And I said to the guy next to me who spoke their language, well, what are they saying? Well, they're just saying the president is corrupt and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Ah. Well, now what's that guy saying right there? She's saying the same thing. And then one woman stood up and said, why are we looking to America? Why are we looking to the EU and Norway and whatever? Why don't we do it ourselves? And then she sat down. That's the first word I heard like that. Said, I like that lady. She wants to do it herself with Jesus. Because they're Christians. So that day I rebuked everybody. And to say, you've been here for 8 years and you've done nothing. There's 30 members of parliament. 30 members of parliament. All the Christians. That they want to have now 500. Just to be fair. How stupid can you be? 500 in a brand new nation, you'll solve nothing. You can't even count their noses. That's a waste of time. Here, present, press a button. You know, it's all silly stuff. Why don't you just have a few people? 30 people would be enough. If you were Christian, you would not follow your culture. You would follow Jesus Christ and do what he says. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So you're the ones he's looking at, not the bad guys like a president and so on. Leave them alone. They're, let them learn on their own. Don't worry about them. You're having nothing to do with them. You're a church, or you're Christians in Parliament. Do what, you know, take responsibility. From then on, have another whole day, 3 days with the Parliament. Another day, they said, wow, no more murmuring, no more. They were not griping and complaining and blaming somebody else. They were saying, he is right. And then the leader who was sitting at our table, the head table, he got up and said, I agree with what that guy just said. So we ate lunch together that day. And I agree. He had a foot removed. He had a leg getting gangrene, chopped his whole leg off. And he was out 10 months. And he came back that day. That's the first day he'd come back. And said, you need to be rebuked. You have done nothing for 8 years. And I'm glad I wasn't here, because you didn't do right. And he rebuked them just like I did. And he agreed with me, and I agreed with him. So we had lunch together and had a good time. So you can change anything in this world all by yourself with Jesus. Amen. If you have Jesus, you have to make sure Jesus is in it. Can't just do it on your own. It's not your own idea. But Jesus wants you to be an overcomer. So are you all overcomers? The answer is yes. Do you believe in Jesus? The answer is yes. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? The answer is yes. Don't even think about it. Don't even like, oh, I got to think about that. You know, this is not a brain thing. This has nothing to do with your brain. It has nothing to do with your emotions. It has nothing to do with your willing. It has to do everything with what God promised. Just stick on that. Him is the issue. Do you know him? The one that created the world, the one that redeems the world, the one that's perfecting you in love. And when it's all done, you'll be a lover. All you got to do is have communion every day, fellowship every day with Jesus, eat his bread, drink his wine. But someday you'll have wine that you haven't ever tasted now. He said, someday I'm coming back and we'll have new wine made in heaven. Have you ever had heavenly wine? No, not really. We had some grapevine wine. By the way, I have one of the original bottles from that grape plagues, you know, because I knew the owner. And he invited me, and so he gave me a wine. I've never drunk it. I never drink any wine. I don't do anything. Just communion. I just have communion wine. The little cups we hand out, just that's it. It doesn't even make me plastered. It doesn't even make me lose my mind. You know what? Do you know what it means to be sober? To be solemn? That is to have a right mind. Even the Greeks knew this. You have the right mind. You have a sound mind. Now, that agrees with the gospel. And those people could actually go to heaven just by believing their conscience and the law of nature. Only God knows. But he knows whether they were right or not. But even the world knows it. They even have knowledge of themselves from nature. Even the nature preaches God. Stars and moon, everything preaches God. So who made this world? Not you. It's a gift. Who made the church? Not you. Not the government. Nobody can do it. Everything man does will fail. Everything God does will live forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. Could I hear a shout of Yahoo? Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! Glory, glory. God is good. All right. Who can now tell me what these three chairs mean? All right, Alex, come and share me. No, come up here and point to this chair.
Okay, so number four is being born again.
Okay.
That's good. My faith alone. Then discipleship is basically the fire of God. God does it. He comes after you. You don't go after him. You don't even look for him. He comes after you and he starts burning everything in. And then the fruit of God is loving your neighbor.
Powerful. That's powerful. Love your neighbor. That's the end of the law. So the end of the law has to be at the end. So if the end of the law means you died. And if you died, Jesus did that too by having faith in God. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. So if you're justified, then you'll also be sanctified and glorified. Who else wants to come? Randy, come up. Tell me who these chairs are. And there's no wrong answers. So just tell me who these three chairs are. That's it. That's a new heart.
Yeah. And so you, now you're justified.
Right.
And now the next one is where you're walking it out.
Right.
You said, I'm not just gonna be saved, I'm gonna act like it, and I'm gonna do the things that I need to do that lines up with the word.
Amen.
And then you're glorified.
Right.
In him.
Yeah, well, you walk.
You walk.
No, yeah, you walk. You walk it out, and you know it's God.
Yeah, because it's not you.
No.
And all you realize all the power is him.
Wow.
In that last.
Perfect. One more. Who wants to do it? You can volunteer. Anyone. This is forgiveness, 4. This is cleansing, 4, 5. And this is God perfecting you in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now you're able to walk with God because you're dead to yourself, and therefore you know that he's forgiven you your sin, but that you still have it. Now he has to get more sin out until there's no sin at all. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father because they'll realize your heart is right even if your behavior doesn't look right. It's not a problem. The people can see God even though you're still sinning. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Till it's all gone, until you're a bride without spot, without wrinkle, because it's always, the judgment is always on the heart. This heart is mine. That's where he wrote his signature when you were born. He wrote it on your heart. This is not your heart. The heart is down here in the bowels of mercy. This is the heart from the Bible. Who else? Who else wants to do it? Okay, so I was a good preacher today, because we got 2 or 3. Or did we get 3? Did we get 3? Praise God. Did I do it? Jack.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Born again of the Spirit.
Born again of the Spirit.
Soul. My soul is in the process of salvation. Renewing my flesh is burning up.
Totally.
Holy Spirit's working on me.
Yes.
My mind, my emotions, my soul.
Right.
Body. That's where he takes over and he exhibits his gifts through me.
Too powerful. Perfect. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Now we've exactly done what the Jews were told to do but couldn't do it. But we can do it by faith. They do it by law. You can't do it by law. There's no law that you can... You know, the reason they wanted the law is so they didn't have to deal with faith. Because they wanted to see it. A lot of Christians want to see it. That's why you don't grow. If you want to be happy, you'll not. If you want to be unanxious, you'll be anxious. I don't care what you try to do. You can't do it without him. Drink his blood. Drink his blood and eat his bread. That's what he says is eternal life. You already have it. You all have it in your heart. All right. God is good. I'm a successful minister. Yes. Somebody else want to do it? Who?
I heard somebody said they want to do it.
Yes, Lynn. Good.
So basically,
This is the gospel.
Yes.
And it's Jesus for me.
Yes.
And Jesus in me.
Yes.
And Jesus through me.
Perfect.
Totally blessed.
Totally blessed. It's the gospel.
And Jesus did all the work.
Jesus did all the work. That's so amazing. Too powerful.
Love
too
it.
Sweet. Too sweet. That message will is not something anyone will understand. Don't ever teach somebody like you're teaching them. Just say the words. But say the words that Scripture says. And it'll save people. That's how people are saved. Whether they're Hindu or whether they're Buddhist or whatever they are. They're ripe. You say the harvest is not ripe. Jesus said it is ripe. So you can preach to a Hindu or Buddhist because they need to know that God loves them. And in India, that's against the law. It's against the law in India to say Jesus loves you because that would change things. And the Hindus don't want that. So the government in control right now, they made all the laws against Christians. So you're an antichrist even if you just say, Jesus loves me. Because they don't have that kind of love. They have to start first. You do this and then you merit God's favor and then you get the reward and so on. It's not that way. God is first, then second, then third, then 15th. And, you know, God does it all. God does everything. We are the only ones that have a God that wants to do everything. Why? Because He created the heavens and the earth. Created everything for you. You're the apple of His eye. All right. Now, I can't get this open. Yeah.
I didn't open the wine.
Okay. All right.
Got it already.
In the night in which He was betrayed. That's not a good thing, to be betrayed. But Jesus loved it. He was so happy that someone betrayed Him. Why? Because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So even that betrayal was necessary so that He could die for your sins. Yahoo! He can't kill Himself, but if somebody else killed Him, the Romans killed Him. Thank you, Romans. Good to crucify Him. Because then He died. In fact, He did all of these things Himself. He was born from above, then He died to Himself. He was a servant. And then He loved His neighbor as Himself. He did that all for you. All right. When He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He gave thanks to God for everything. Then He distributed it. He broke it and distributed it. Gave it to each of His disciples. So that we could remember His death. Christ crucified Him. That's what He did for us. So that you die to this world. So that then we could drink the wine. So let us partake of the bread. And now, I didn't do it right. I shouldn't clip my fingernails because I can't even get it. And in the same way, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of you, all my disciples, drink of you of this cup. For this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant, requiring blood, in my blood, for you. Do this as often as we drink it in remembrance of me. This is how you remember me. Drink this cup and eat this bread. Let us now drink of the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this simple gospel. You came, You died. That was imputed. Now, we then are sanctified, but that was something You did for us. And then in us. And then You work through us so that men might glorify You. And that's the end of the law. So we've kept the whole law. And we give You praise and glory that we passed over and we destroyed the enemy's stronghold. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, testimony. Shout it out.
No.
You have a testimony?
it's kind of a general one, just that I'm just reminded how wonderful this gospel is, because it's not religion, it's the true gospel, it's Jesus Christ, and it's just life changing.
It's powerful. And that's deliberate, by the way. Because it hasn't yet come. So he's preparing us for his coming. So he's dividing Jew from Jew, Gentile from Gentile, heathen from heathen. So he's doing all of that. You don't see it, but that's what he's doing. Even the government's subject to Jesus. He's the governor of the nations. They don't do anything he doesn't approve of. Period. Even though they do sin, just be blind to that. Pray for your enemies. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. Just don't do anything wrong and don't curse them. They're fine. Leave them alone. Whatever they do, let them do it. We just have our eyes on Jesus, beholding him. Don't look at anything else. Beholding him, you are changed. Praise God. Who else?
Amen.
Somebody else. Yes.
So I have a dear young lady that is one of my very close friend's daughter that died of cancer when she was 32. She left four daughters and a godmother. And she has four girls. So I saw the girl at a party, and I said, I want to bring you dinner. I want to give you a gift. I'm so excited about your new baby. And then I got busy, and I told her that about 3 weeks ago. And I saw her yesterday at getting another baby gift for someone else. And I just was so grateful that when I'm faithless, he's faithful.
Yeah.
So I said, man, I'm so excited to see you. And she's looking at little shoes. And I said, I'm here to buy your gift. And I just love that in Christ that he's for us, he's in us, he's through us, and that he wanted me to follow through and love her.
Right.
And I just was so blessed that the goodness of God showed up yesterday, and I could follow through. I'm going to take her a meal. But that he does everything.
Yeah.
And he kept his word through me by bringing that up, because that young lady doesn't have a mother.
Right.
And she needs women in her life to be faithful and follow through, and mm-hmm. help me follow through, and now I can do the meal. And praise God, because I want to be catalyst. I want to love her with this message. Because
too powerful.
I would imagine if you lose your mom when you're a young lady, that you need
life changer.
A lot of Jesus.
Yeah. Praise God. That's
I love him working all his will over me, because I just want to be with Jesus and let him do it all, and I'm grateful that he does it.
Amen. It's powerful. That's the revival. We're just a little part of the revival. That's part of the revival. Who else? Karen.
I just want to say that when you spoke today, I know it was God, and it was from God. You. So thank
praise
you
God.
So much for being faithful.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Another testimony, when your teaching is so sound that without it, I'm not a sinner. And it's so good to be reminded, refreshed, and to go back to spirit, soul, and body, to outer court, inner court, innermost court. I mean, I just am. My joy is made full and complete in your ministry. I just praise God.
Amen. It's good. Who else? Okay. Yes, Lynn.
Well, I just want to second everything that Jenny's saying, because of the gospel, what the clear gospel that you presented, we can overcome, and we do overcome.
Yeah.
We have something to say. We have something to minister to others. And one of my best friends has served her husband divorce papers, and today the realtors are coming.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the husband is lost.
Yeah.
He's been in church all his life, but he's obviously never heard the gospel. And he's never experienced religion.
Right.
And not relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would just ask for us to pray for them. But I have something to say.
Let's do it right now. Let's pray for them.
Great. Father, we just lift up Scott and Rochelle, and we just come. come against the darkness that is prevailing in their lives, and we just speak the truth
yes.
of the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just set them free
yes.
from every bondage.
Every bondage.
Of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy their 30-year marriage. I just come against and break off every hindrance, every evil work
mm-hmm.
that the enemy has in his mind. And I just loose the truth of the gospel that Jesus did the work.
Yes.
And that he will finish his work.
Yes.
If they just look to him.
Yes, Lord.
If they just look to Jesus, I just ask that you just would arrest them with the love of God shed, that has been shed abroad in their hearts.
Yes.
The true gospel.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. God heard that. Then they heard that. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Dan. That's the primacy of Peter, which the Catholic Church teaches. And they're correct. He was the first, but he's not the only one that got the keys. Not only did he got the keys, then all the other disciples got the keys, and then all of us Christians have the keys. You'd have to read on to see all of that is given to all of us. But he was the first one. He was the first rock, the living stone next to the living stone, the cornerstone, and his life flowed into his life, flowed into the whole structure of the church. So for that reason, don't get rid of the Catholics in your mind, because they were he is the first one that got a hold of it. And God the Father revealed that to him. He's not the rock, but he knew the rock, and the rock, that cornerstone, made him alive. And he made others alive. So, give thanks to God. Too powerful. Somebody else. Yeah.
Just what he said next, after that, he said, you know, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then he said, and we believe.
Woo-hoo!
And are sure.
Yeah. He's a faith man.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Woo-hoo! He got it. He got it. And all the others knew that was God. And hey, we should have said that. That's good. But he's the first. That'll never change. It'll never change. Anyway, God is great. God is good.
Hallelujah.
And the best is yet to come.
Amen.
So, blessed be the atheist.
Yes.
We love atheists.
Thank you, Jesus.
We hate their works, but we love atheists because they're a person searching. And they searched it through human stuff. But she needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you all the praise, because at least she can see things. Hey, this one was wrong. I think this was a better one. In Jesus' name, convert her to the true faith so that she might be happy the rest of her life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you all. You're the best. You're the best. Bless somebody before you go. Don't go without blessing somebody.